Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Joined by former Giants punter Jeff Beagles. I am John Schmelk. The number for you is 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Make sure you tune in and say hello to us right here on Giants.com. A lot of stuff going on right now, and we'll be joined by Kyle Krabs from NDT Scouting, as Jeff Eagles gets his computer under control. I heard volume coming from somewhere.
I did, too. I'm like, I looked at Dan. I'm like, Dan, where's the volume coming from?
And Dan's looking at you, dumb, you know what? Turn off your computer. Anyway, so we'll be with you on Twitter for the first few minutes of the show, and then you can go to Giants.com or the Giants mobile app. And let's kick it off with Kyle Krabs. He's the founder of NDT Scouting. Does a great job. Jeff, why don't you hold up this binder here for the folks so they can see it.
Here we go.
That's the draft guide.
Let's show the thickness first.
Well, I had to put it in the binder because I literally could not clip it because it was so thick. That's how much information there is in there. It's great stuff. Kyle, you got John Schmelk and Jeff Eagles with you right here.
Hi, Kyle.
How you doing today, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Jeff, I guess you get some bicep curls in.
Yep.
Pick that thing up a couple times, right?
Absolutely. This looks like this almost looks like an NFL playbook right here. It's great. Lots of stuff.
All right,
yeah,
so
it's definitely a labor of love every year, for sure.
Wow.
Okay, let's get into a little bit here, Kyle. And we're going to kind of go big picture with you here, specifically to the Giants' needs. And I'll start here. We haven't talked a ton about the wide receivers on Big Blue Kickoff, and most people have them ranked with a pretty clear first tier, with Corey Davis, Ross, and Mike Williams all being in that first tier. Is that how you see it? And once those top-tier wide receivers go off the board, when do you see that next group starting to get selected by NFL teams?
Well, I'm totally on board with Corey Davis being the top tier by himself. I think far and away the total package of skills that he brings to the table, run after catch, he's aggressive with the ball in the air, he's got size and strength, speed to run away and break angles in the secondary. He checks a lot of boxes, a lot of things you want to see out of a potential alpha receiver. For me, I think he's notably the best guy. I'm not especially sold on John Ross as a potential top 20, top 25 pick. I like him for what he is that he's a really dangerous additional element to a vertical passing game. You can get him the ball in short areas, and he's pretty good at making people miss. But when I watch him play, I'm left wanting a little more as far as how he addresses the ball. Obviously, there's some injury concerns there with him. He's got a pretty notable list of injury issues in the past, including a structural knee injury. So I'm not totally on board with John Ross. I think he's a good value on the second day. But if you're talking about him as a top 20, top 25 pick, I'd let somebody else make that investment. And Mike Williams has a really nice power element to his game. He's a big body. He's gotten better throughout his career at Clemson at using that body to his advantage and box guys out. I would just like to see him use his full length more consistently. A lot of his contested catches, he doesn't extend for the ball. So that leaves me wanting a little bit more out of Mike Williams in terms of how he plays the ball in the air as well.
So then, Kyle, in your opinion then, once you get past Corey Davis, you're looking at mostly second-round and third-round picks then from the wide receiver class.
Correct. And okay. My board in total has 17 first-round values in it. Names that landed in the second round for me as wide receivers included Carlos Henderson from Louisiana Tech. He's a really explosive run-after-catch guy. Josh Reynolds is more of a vertical, prototypical, quote-unquote, number two. He's got to get a little bit stronger. Taywan Taylor from Western Kentucky is a guy that I'm especially high on. He reminds me a lot of Michael Crabtree with what he does well. He doesn't have a single dominant trait, but he has a lot of polish to his team. And then Mike Williams is in that group of receivers as well.
So let's stick with guys that can catch the football, the big tight end position. You know, obviously Howard and Njoku are the two big studs in this draft. I think John and I both agree that Howard will be the first guy taken off the board. Therefore, Njoku, you know, where do you see him kind of falling down maybe a little bit to 23 for the Giants? Or do you think he might be a guy that's going to be grabbed before that too?
Njoku's, first of all, I really love his upside. There's a really strong group of three tight ends with Howard Njoku and Evan Engram, if you want to classify him as that. Njoku, he'll probably be a mid-early 20s target. I wouldn't be surprised if he's still on the board towards the back half of that group, but I'd be really surprised if he's still on the board after the end of the first round. So if that's somebody the Giants want to target, obviously it's going to be dependent on who else is still left out there on the board, but he's 28th overall on my board. Think as a potential inline guy, he's got some room to grow as far as how well he blocks, but I think his best opportunity would be a team that wants to use him similar to how the Saints used to use Jimmy Graham. Get inside the red zone and flex him out wide. He has size. He's won those high point catch opportunities in college before. He's really special with the ball in his hands in short areas. I don't see too many hurdles for him to get into the 20s, but there's a lot of landmines that he's going to have to navigate if he were to fall to the 30s and beyond.
Well, Kyle, let's say real quick the Giants don't get one of those two studs in the first round. And you know what? They say, we're going to use a first-round pick on, let's say, a defensive end or running back, something like that. And they decide, you know what? We want to try to get the most value out of this tight end position. How long do you think the Giants can wait to find a guy that maybe isn't a plug-and-play year one guy, but can contribute in year one and develop into a starter in year two or year three? How late can they wait, and who are some guys that you think in the middle rounds of the draft that would be good targets for them?
Yeah, I've got a group of five guys that are fourth-round values for me, so start of day three that, you know, you see potential starting upside with these guys. It's a really nice tight end class this year, far and away the best we've had in the past 4 years. Names like Adam Shaheen, I think, is going to be gone, but that's where I have him valued. But you still have another small school guy, Eric Saubert from Drake, Cole Hickatini from Louisville, Jordan Leggett from Clemson, Farrow Brown from Oregon. All of these guys bring a little something different. Hickatini's more of a cheap man's version of Evan Engram as a flex guy, an H-back style. Saubert's more of an inline traditional. Leggett's more of an inline traditional. So there's going to be value there at the beginning part of day three that if you want to take that quote-unquote developmental guy, there's plenty of options in this class.
How high do you think Jake Butt and Gerald Everett are going to go? Because those are kind of the two guys that are in that next group after the Howard and Njokus and Engrams.
Yeah, but I think he even came out and said that he's on track to participate in training camp with his ACL tear. It's funny how ACL tears are no longer this devastating 18-month affair. Now, for the time it takes to get your full explosiveness and range of motion back, but you can play with it. And if that's true with Butt and with the medical rechecks, I'm sure that will be very big for him. I would be comfortable end of second round, beginning of third round, somebody like Jake Butt, where he does things, a lot of things really well. He's not especially explosive, but he knows how to navigate the middle of the field, and he knows how to get open, and you see that. Where Everett's probably third round is kind of a sweet spot for him, where I would feel good about taking him if you need a move piece, a guy that's not going to be playing in line, but is going to move around your defensive backfield. Maybe you flex him out of the slot every once in a while and bring a more versatile role than what Butt will as a traditional inline guy.
I could see the Giants team that would, you know, be patient enough to maybe draft a Jake Butt. I really do. I think that, you know, he has a tremendous upside, obviously the injury, but, you know, obviously, you know, there's a lot of guys that heal differently, and this may be one of the guys that does very quickly. But so, you know, we're going to get on the quarterback situation here. So, you know, the Giants, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, trying to find that replacement for Eli Manning, and we got the other team that's in town here with the Jets with that number six pick. What are you hearing, and what do you think who's going to be the first quarterback taken? I find it very ironic that all of a sudden now, not ironic, but it's just interesting that these quarterbacks now, you didn't hear a lot about some of them, but now you're really starting
Mahomes, David
exactly.
Webb, all those
so
guys.
So now these guys are, and Kaiser to me is one of the guys where he is very intriguing to me, Kaiser. Big dude, strong arm, can play in cold weather. So I'm getting off my answer here, or my question. So who do you think the first QB is going to be off the board?
Yeah, it's interesting because from a Giants perspective, you want one of these guys that you feel can be a starter. You almost have to take him at 22 because the way it's lining up, none of these guys are going to be there. I would not be surprised to see teams prioritize the upside of Kaiser or Mahomes. and make them be the first pick.
Yeah.
If it were me, that's not the direction that I would go. But based on what we're hearing and how much buzz is out there for Mahomes and Kaiser's quote-unquote prototypical, kind of reminds me of Blake Bortles a couple years ago, where you know he's kind of raw in some areas. He's got a lot of work to do to grow and reach his full potential. But old-school football guys, these guys that are in charge of picking football rosters right now, he's a guy that's going to appeal to all those guys because they love the big body and the big arm and the flashes of when everything's right with Kaiser. It looks incredible. He's got similar tools to someone like Jameis Winston. Now, he was nowhere near as consistent as Winston in college, but, Jeff, to answer your question, if I were a betting man, I would bet on Mahomes or Kaiser being the first quarterback.
Wow.
You know, and Kyle, I think that's interesting because, you know, to me, what happens with these quarterbacks, and I'm glad Jeff went here because I was going to ask something similar, and I'll build on the answer you gave to him. When you get closer to the draft, one of two things happens with each quarterback class. Either people begin to really get desperate and they value guys more than they should, and in my opinion, what's a relatively weak quarterback class, you're going to have three or four guys go in the first round where if you were actually going by your grades, you probably wouldn't see one of these guys go till round two. Or you'll see teams say, you know what? I don't think other teams are going to value these guys. I think I can get one of these guys in the second round, so I'm going to wait. And then you're not going to see maybe any or one of these guys only go in the first round. How do you see this thing trending right now about 3 weeks out before the draft? Do you think this is going to be a 3-5 quarterback first round or a 1-2 quarterback first round?
If I had to set the over-under, I would probably put it at 3.5.
Okay.
And I would probably take the over on that. I think the top tier is Watson and Trubisky. For me, that's my 1-2.
I agree with you.
I like what each of those guys. There's no transcending quarterback prospects, but if you gauge the strengths and the weaknesses of these guys, there are certain systems that these guys can go into, and you can feel really good about, you know, them being a long-term star in the NFL. This Davis Webb talk as a potential late first-round pick refuses to die, and that scares me a little bit because you get names that are drummed up every single year, and that's not a surprise. But usually it's a two-week window, and then it goes away.
Yeah.
Well, this Webb thing's been like a two-month affair where people, like Phil Savage, just went on Twitter yesterday and said, the Davis Webb potential first-round pick talk is legitimate. I've talked to a lot of coaches that really want to work with this guy. So if you're expanding that first round into the top 40 picks, I would hardly be shocked to see 5 off the board.
You know, Kyle, I got to follow up on Davis Webb real quick. I get, you know, size, I get arm strength, but at one point do you say, well, can the guy play the position? And I feel like you're putting an awful lot of stock into development at the pro level. I mean, how often over the years have we seen a guy that was literally not very good in college or, you know, not great in college, especially in a collegiate system, not a pro system, come into the pros and really develop into a star? I feel like that just doesn't really happen, and it's just such a projection to pick a guy like that early. And I reference the Jets with Hackenberg last year. That's another similar guy where, yeah, he has all the physical things you want, but he just wasn't very good.
Still isn't very good.
And I feel like it's just such a projection. It just shows how desperate teams are and, frankly, how arrogant they can be and that they can develop a quarterback, you know, so quickly like that. I don't know. I just find it odd.
And just real quick, I think what happens here, honestly, this is a huge media pub. I think the media pubs these players up to a point where everybody starts believing what you're saying. But you say that this rumor, if you will, has been for months going on. Your history tells you with your research and stuff that this usually doesn't happen this long. So maybe the rumor is true. But you know, these personnel guys are a lot smarter than all of us. At least we think they are. And they see a lot of things that you and I may not. But it is an interesting when you start talking about it. It's very interesting how these guys can start talking about players like this. And there may be 5 quarterbacks when we're at the beginning. After the season ended, what were we talking about? The quarterback class this year was horrible.
Yeah, I know.
And so, now the over-under is set at 3.5.
So, Kyle, I mean, I guess they're just real confident in their development capabilities, right, with a guy like Webb?
Yeah, so here's kind of how I look at it. You know, none of these coaches would be where they are if they didn't believe that inherently they can coach any player in the world. That's how you kind of get to the platform like this. So you look for the things that you want to see and the traits that you desire, and you automatically assume I can fix the rest of it. Now, each one of these guys is an individual human being, so that's obviously never manifests itself. Some guys improve and get better, and some guys don't. And the big thing with Webb is from what I hear, people are really impressed with Webb on the chalkboard, talking football X's and O's, and that's all fine and dandy, but there's a disconnect between mental intelligence and football functional intelligence.
Right.
So when the live bullets are flying and you're out there on the field and you're getting rushed and you're staring down the barrel of a double A-gap blitz, Webb's not making good decisions with the throw. So that's where it scares me, in that, yes, you can really like the kid. You can talk to the kid and be impressed with him and how he regurgitates how he would run your offense and the things you're looking for. But when you turn on the tape, does he do it? And Josh Dobbs this year is another perfect example of that, is another guy, an aerospace major at Tennessee. He's probably the smartest guy in all of football, aside of maybe John Urschel, who's like going for his doctorate while playing in the NFL. But when the live bullets are flying, there's questionable decisions, the mechanics aren't consistent, and that's where the disconnect comes in. So I think that's something teams have to be careful with.
Yeah, I agree. So let's get off the QBs. They get enough attention as it is, so we're going to move away from them. And, you know, stay on the offensive side. Talk about offensive linemen, obviously a big, concern for the Giants. And heading into the draft, a lot of people have the Giants taking, one of the three big offensive linemen that are going to be on the board. Whether they're all there or not, I don't know. So what's your take on the three offensive linemen? I know you have them in here. John has them up, but I can't see them. But talk a little bit about your three guys, and maybe if you think that one of them may land with the Giants at 23.
Yeah, I really, really like Cam Robinson as far as the tools that he brings to the table, and he has a lot of stretches of really dominant play. A lot of his issues are between the ear stuff, silly mistakes, not taking the proper step out of his stance. But he, at the college level, against a lot of really good competition, showed the ability to mask a lot of that with how long he is. He's got 35.5-inch arms. He's 322 pounds. And he's a pretty special athlete as far as functionally speaking what he can do at that size. So his relative size to athleticism is just off the charts good. It's really, really strong. So even when he takes the false steps and makes mistakes, he's still able to ride guys out past the pocket. And that's a trait you saw from Fluker and a number of other, like those really long-arm guys, the San Diego tackle that was there for a while, I believe Dunlap. That's how they make their hay, and they get away with, okay, maybe the feet aren't always the cleanest, but you can still use your length and you have enough recovery athleticism that you can still win. So it's not always prettiest. Some people think he's kind of clunky. I just think he has long steps. He had 13 penalties in 2016, so that has to get cleaned up. Another 11 in 2015. So
wow, between the ears. There's between the ears,
But if you can light a fire under him and really get him focused, some of the stretches that he has is really dominating stuff. I also like Ryan Ramczyk from Wisconsin. He's another one of my 17 first-round values. The concerns with him are he bounced around a whole lot, only played 1 year at Division I football level. He has a hip procedure this year that prevented him from working out, so all those hurdles have to be cleared. And then Garrett Bowles reminds me of Taylor Lewan coming out of Michigan from a couple years ago. A lot of similar strengths and weaknesses, really nasty, tenacious, super athletic guy, loves to play through the end of the whistle and get in guys' faces. So he's got that attitude you love to see from an offensive lineman. He just needs to clean up his base when he's engaged with guys. He'll let his feet narrow a bit and he spins off of blocks. So I like all of those guys as starting left tackles at the next level. I rank them Cam Robinson, Ryan Ramczyk, and Garrett Bowles out of that top group. And I wouldn't hate to see the Giants choose to go one of those guys if the value's there, which I think for Ramczyk and Robinson, for sure it would be.
Just curious, your take on Forrest Lamp. I know he wasn't mentioned in your group there.
Yeah, Lamp for me is an interior guy, kind of similar to Cody Whitehair, who went last year and played center. I think he's better at guard, maybe more Nick Martin from Notre Dame as far as his projection to the next level, not necessarily indicating his skill level. I think he's not quite there to that level. But he played really – he showed really strong tape at left tackle. But I just think NFL likes the length at offensive tackle, and he doesn't have that amount of length. I think he would be functional there, but I think you're doing him a disservice and playing him away from where he would be the best at the NFL level.
Now, Kyle, we know this isn't a deep offensive line class. Are there any prospects you like in the middle rounds that you think could be developmental guys out of tackle, maybe provide some competition year one, year two, but if you have them in your building long enough, you can turn them into a starting caliber tackle in, say, 2018, 2019?
Yeah, I think there's two guys that stand out that are probably day two investments. One of them may end up going to day three because of some off-the-field stuff and some injury issues, and that's Chad Wheeler from USC. He had a domestic incident that actually resulted in he had to be taken to get a mental evaluation. So that raises some questions. You need to make sure his head's on straight. But he's got nice length. He's able to mirror and move well as a pass protector. He just needs to get stronger and add some more oomph in his anchor. He's a little light in the frame. And then the one that I really like as a middle-round guy is Deion Dawkins from Temple.
Okay.
He can play tackle, guard, went to the Senior Bowl and played guard and came straight out and said, hey, I'm probably not going to show as good as I possibly could this week because I played left tackle at Temple. I think he's going to have to be a late round two, early round three kind of target because he's got a lot of nice traits. He's got power. He can move. He can get out into in space and onto the boundary and take guys out. He's just not quite there as far as his inline technique and angles, and that needs to get polished up. But if you're looking for a middle-round guy, a day-two guy, Dawkins would be a nice guy to target.
All right, Kyle, I want to jump to defense here. We got about 5 more minutes with you. I'm going to do some rapid fire on defense to try to get a feel for a couple positions real quick, Kyle. All right, let's start with linebacker. If you're a 4-3 defense in the National Football League, you want a linebacker. You're not going to take one in the first round, so you can throw Foster, Reddick, Bauer, Zach Cunningham, probably even Jared Davis out. Throw those guys out of the mix here. Who do you like that might be there in round 3 or 4 that you think can compete either inside or outside as a 4-3 linebacker and be a good pro?
All right, so let's start with Alec Anzalone from Florida. Really nice skill set, was one of the standouts from the Senior Bowl. A lot of medical red tape, has a shoulder injury, broke his arm this year, has never played more than, I think, 11 games in a season. But when he's healthy and he's right, he is really strong at navigating his way to the football and filtering his way through traffic. Duke Riley from Louisiana State as a potential Will or Mike linebacker. He's a little lean. He's under 230 or 240, but he's fast to flow. You know, LSU's got a lot of fast linebackers. He's just the latest one to come out of there. Blair Brown from Ohio, I have rated as a late round three option. Really underrated. He's a little shorter, stockier. He's right around 6 foot, 230 or so, but really like how well he moves in space. He can do some zone coverage things for you. He's nice at playing forward, and he's a strong tackler. And then the last one I'd give you is Tanner Vallejo from Boise State. I think he's tailor-made for today's NFL, right around 6'1", 230. Conditional quickness and mental football intelligence is really strong. He processes plays quickly. His issues are he gets to the play so fast he doesn't come to balance and square up his tackles. So he'll overrun some tackles. But if you can coach him to hold his water and square up on his hits, I think he can be a really nice coverage linebacker that can play in space and be a pursuit linebacker on the back end as well.
All right, so that was great. Like I said, we don't have a lot of time, so I want to get to the defensive ends and the edge rushers. You know, obviously we have the guys at the top of this. You know, Miles Jarrett and Jonathan Allen. Give us, like John said, who's a sleeper here for you, and for our listeners, maybe the Giants, because the Giants love defensive ends. So you know, there's going to be one probably taken in this draft somewhere along the line. What do you think?
Sure, a couple names I'd like just to give you a few. Hunter Dimmick from Utah. Had a really strong pro day.
Was I like
very
him
productive.
Too.
Trey Hendrickson from FAU is another guy that his pro day stuff was tremendous. He was another highly productive player. He's just not always sure what he's doing with his hands yet. Terrell Basham from Ohio fits a prototype mold as far as his athleticism and size. He just doesn't trust his instincts all the time. He kind of pulls himself out of plays, where you would like to see him continue to press through, and he might be able to make some more plays than what he did. And the last one I'll give you is Keonta Davis from Tennessee Chattanooga. As a small school kid, was at the Senior Bowl, pretty strong at navigating tight spaces and setting the edge. He's not as dynamic of a pass rusher, though.
All right, Kyle, two more quick ones before we say goodbye. At what point do you think, how many players deep do you get into the 4-3 defensive end group and the cornerback group where you get past guys that you think are going to be starting caliber players in the NFL? We've all heard how deep these are, but are we talking round 3? Are we talking round 4? Are we talking even as deep as round 5 where you finally see that drop-off occur at those two premium positions?
Well, for pass rushers, this year I did 30 pass rushers, and I had 21 finish with a fourth round or higher score. So it's an incredibly deep pass rushing group. The corners, you got a lot of scheme-specific guys. We did 36 corners. 20 of those corners had a fourth round or higher. But you got names from there like Chidobe Awuzie, who I think is more of a slot guy. Rasul Douglas is a really long guy, but I think he's best in cover 3. Where you don't have him flip his hips. Same thing for Kevin King from Washington. So there's a lot of value all the way down the board, but you kind of get more narrow when you start putting the corners through specific filters for scheme-specific that you don't have to worry about with the pass rushers.
Got it. Final question, Kyle. Give me one late riser and one late faller that you think will surprise people on April 27th.
Oh, man. I think Hassan Reddick's going to surprise people with how early he goes. If what I'm hearing... there's a lot of high demand for him in the teams.
Okay, that's a good one.
I wouldn't be surprised to see someone like John Allen is probably, you know, the consensus was he was top five. I could see him, you know, sliding a little bit. He's going to get dinged for the medicals. He's going to get dinged for not testing particularly well. But don't let that tape fool you because the tape is really strong. He wins with technique. He does not win with functional athleticism and explosiveness. He's more of a win at first contact, and that does not change no matter what level of football you play on.
Okay, one quick one?
Sure.
Okay, running back. What do you think? I mean, obviously, Fournette's probably going to be the first guy, in my opinion, and then you got McCaffrey and the guy from Florida State. What do you think of those three guys there? Are they all legitimate first round, top 15? What do you think? Dalvin Cook, I've heard – his draft staff is kind of, and what I'm reading, is going down a little bit. I mean, I have one mock. They have the Giants picking him at 23.
Yeah, Cook has a combination of some durability questions. There's some low-key off-the-field questions with him.
Some bad testing.
So the bad testing is obviously a red flag as well. I have all three of those guys, Cook, McCaffrey, and Fournette, are inside my top 20 on my draft board.
Okay. Okay.
So it's a very, very, very gifted running class this year.
Kyle, tell people how to get your draft guide.
Well, if you guys are interested, we just debuted a new website this week. It's www.ndtscouting.com. We have an online portal that you can subscribe for, and it gets you logged in. You can look at my 2015, 2016, 2017 draft reports. That's 300 draft reports put through a very detail-oriented approach. It's all there, very transparent. And it's a 12-month premium subscription. You can get in whenever you like. We have some premium content that's going to be running year-round. We're going to treat it like a true scouting agency. So it's a really cool new spin on the draft consumption and for draft fans. Swing over to NDT Scouting, check it out. And you can find me on Twitter at NDT Scouting.
Perfect. Kyle, good stuff.
Thank
appreciate
you,
the time. And and we'll talk to you after the draft as we break down who the Giants picked. All right, pal?
That sounds great. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Hey,
you're
no
welcome.
Problem. Again,
great stuff.
NDTScouting.com. Go check it
really
out.
Good
again,
stuff.
The draft guide, big. It's comprehensive. It's huge.
It's very well done.
Yes.
I like the way that it's put together. Mm-hmm. It gives you a really good idea of you know who you want to go look. It's categorized very well. So much information.
And I want to do something different today. You know, a lot of times we talk about the first round. I tried to make sure we got into the mix and a lot of the middle round guys today, which I thought was a little bit different that we haven't done a ton of. So
give them some love.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? You know how it goes, Jeff. You got to hit on these middle round picks. If you don't, Well, you're not going to have a depth chart.
You just have so many players. It's just, it's hard to even talk about, you know, probably a third of them. The most, I mean, it's so many of them.
Well, I mean, he was throwing out these guys in the fourth to fifth round. I mean, I didn't recognize a lot of names.
No, you're not going to. You're not going to.
It's just the way it is. I mean, unless you're doing this, you know, full time and this is all you do all year, it's just, it's impossible to keep track of all these guys.
You know, and I was having this discussion with a friend of mine the other day because he was basically asking me, you know, what I know about the insides of the draft at the offices here. And I said, I know nothing. And nobody knows anything.
Well, the scouts aren't back yet from all their pro days yet either. So they haven't gotten together to do the board yet.
I think what he meant to me was, like, do you ever get any inside information?
No.
So, and he says, well, how, you know, what do you think that these guys work on draft day? And I said, to me, you got to be kind of within that window of five picks, kind of knowing like where you're going to. Because think about it, if somebody trades up and trades down, then you got to have. It's a constant. It's fluid. It keeps going and going. And so, you know, you got to have your list of people, and they do, and they've got them ranked, and they're always moving up and down. But I don't think I ever will. But I would. It would be a great day to be able to just to be a fly in the wall in the draft room and just see how it all works.
I'm sure if you asked, they'd let you do it.
Oh, maybe. But you're
Jeff Fiegels. You could do whatever you want.
I think it would be pretty cool. I would say nothing. I would sit there, and if they wanted me just to put a bag over my face, I would. I would still. I'd listen. But I think the closest we all can get to it is draft day, I guess, by the movie, right? Did you see that with Kevin Costner?
I was not a fan.
Yeah, well, I didn't see it, so I was just curious.
Okay, well, I figured if you asked me, I figured you saw it.
No, I didn't see it. That's why.
Here's the thing. The movie itself wasn't bad. The movie itself was okay. The types of trades he was pulling off in the movie were so patently ridiculous that it made me not be able to take the entire thing seriously.
So let me ask you, even though the trades were ridiculous, but was the process close? I mean, was it the way that they were doing things that somebody could get an idea of, yeah, this is kind of how it works? You get an idea.
Yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Yeah. Maybe a little bit.
Interesting.
But, I mean, just to give you an idea, this is how stupid it was. All right? So they're picking it like, I think it was number 5. And the GM, who's Kevin Costner, wants to pick this linebacker, right? Wants to pick the linebacker. So he walks in, day of the draft, the owner pressures him to trade up to number 1 in the draft, this quarterback, because he wants to sell tickets.
Okay.
Okay? Which is, that would never happen here, because John Mara didn't do that, but it has happened other places. So he ends up trading like 3 first-round picks, or like 2 1s and a 2, or whatever it is. Some crazy number to move up to number 1. Okay, so far you're doing okay. Then, as they go on the clock to pick the guy at number 1, he picks the linebacker anyway.
Oh, no. That guy instantly got fired.
No, because then some other team got freaked out because he passed on the quarterback, and then the quarterback ended up being there at 5, so he traded back into the first round.
Oh, my God.
It was made for
the
bottom
right
line,
there.
He ended up getting both guys.
Made for movie. Yeah, definitely.
It was just so stupid.
You know, to get off – not to off subject, but just to change the subject. So I thought this quarterback thing is really interesting to me.
Teams are desperate, Jeff. To me, it all comes down to desperation.
I feel that the most fascinating of this draft right now is because obviously the quarterback is the number one position in football. It's the hardest position to play. But going into the draft this year after the season was over, we all were talking about how weak – now there's like – and Trubisky, all of a sudden the guy that's only played, what, 13, 14 games was going to be the first guy off the board. Now it's like he's not even in the discussion somewhere. And, it's just crazy.
And Mahomes, look, no one's doubting he's big. He's got a big arm. He has all the physical things you want. But what's the toughest thing about playing quarterback?
Yeah.
So what's going on up here?
No,
it's
no
processing quickly. It's seeing and processing and making quick decisions. You're going to ask Mahomes to do things in the NFL that he has never once in his life been asked to do as a quarterback. That system down there at Texas Tech doesn't have you read defenses. It doesn't have you look at both sides of the field.
You're in the shotgun every time.
Yes. It's a million. There are a million things, literally, that you have to do in the NFL that they do not ask you to do at Texas Tech. And how can you take the chance? Look, if you want to pick him in like the 3rd or 4th round and develop him, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You cannot use a first round pick on a guy. It's the same thing in free agency. What I always say, when you sign somebody in free agency, sign him to do the things you know he's good at.
Well,
don't sign a guy and go tell him to do something else. You're almost drafting Mahomes to do something else.
It's a lot easier to do it in free agency because you kind of have a body of work for the guy.
Yeah, of course.
You know, but I just feel like, and you look at a guy like Deshaun,
Watson.
I mean,
or Kaiser, which one did you mean?
Either one. Either Deshaun there. I mean, but Watson, He's got a good body of work, in my opinion.
I agree.
I think he's a smart dude. He's athletic.
He graduated in 3 years. He's a smart dude.
I mean, and then, but you're kind of like, he's kind of been lost in the discussion, and all of a sudden these other no-name guys are coming in and trying to maybe get picked in front of him. That's why I say it. That's why the quarterback thing is very, very interesting.
And I think quarterback is very much almost like to each his own type of deal. Some people like different bodies better. Some people like a guy that can run. Some people like pure pocket guys. And
so are you going, if you were a betting man, which you're not, would you go the over or the under on the 3.5?
I go under. I think people are purposely trying to push these guys more than they're – and I think people will be like, oh, wow, I can't believe only one quarterback went in the first round. And, look, I think in the end these guys will find religion here and realize, look, on our big board, these guys are not better than these other players. Why would I pick them? You know, it's your best player available. There's not that many teams that are desperate for a quarterback.
And, you know, when you think about it, it's so much easier to find a good defensive end or a D-tackle or a corner.
I mean, look, if you really –
find a franchise quarterback.
If you really believe in one of these guys, I get it. I just find it hard to believe that you can really believe in a lot of these guys.
And I think it's hard to believe that somebody really does believe that these guys can be their franchise.
And that's why I'm going under. All right, we have people on the line. I think we just lost somebody, actually. Whoever we just lost, if he wants to call right back, Dan, we'll put them up first. But let's go to Dennis in Rutherford. He's been on a while, too. Dennis, how are you, buddy? Dennis, going once.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey,
there he is. What's up, Dennis? Yeah, loud and clear
you,
now,
man.
Boss.
Excellent. You know, I was looking at the draft, and, you know, each year we get to this time of the year, and we always try to come up with who you think the Giants will pick up.
Yes,
looking at the needs the way it is, most of the time it's the offensive linemen, but knowing that it takes almost 3 years for them to develop enough that you feel comfortable enough to protect Eli and play the games that they do, do you foresee like them going after offensive linemen? Frankly, I think that if they came up with a stud linebacker that we haven't had since Lawrence Taylor and those guys, it, you know, we can make more of a difference there, like an unexpected pick, sort of like Eli Apple last year.
Well, I mean, I think it depends if you think you can find the stud linebacker when the Giants pick at 23. I mean, if you listen to Kyle, and frankly, I've heard likewise from other people, Hassan Reddick is going to be long gone by the time the Giants pick at 23. Reuben Foster is going to be long gone by the time the Giants pick at 23. So do you like, you know, Jarrad Davis? Do you like Zach Cunningham? Those are the two guys I think you would consider in that particular position. And I think you sit there and you say, are those possibilities? I say yes, I think they are. I think the Jarrad Davis injury history, especially a linebacker, which is a physical position that, look, you can't not have a lot of physical contact at linebacker. It's literally impossible. It's impossible. So yeah. I would not pick a guy that's injury prone to play linebacker for me. That
no
to
way.
Me is scary. So to me, the if Reddick's gone, Cunningham's your one guy. And then you got to wonder too, do you think these offensive linemen are plug and play? You know, Ramchick's got the hip. You know, maybe he is going to be back for training camp, but then he's missed a lot of the reps in the spring. He hasn't been able to, I imagine if you have a hip surgery, you can't do leg lifts, right, and strengthen your legs. I imagine that's probably not going to work.
Well,
so,
it just depends on area-specific exercise.
Yeah.
I know he's been doing stuff.
It's got to be hard, though, I imagine. Yeah. You know, so I think those are all red flags, Dennis, when you look at it. It's just a matter of how you evaluate the individual player. I don't think it's impossible to think they pick an offensive lineman. I don't think it's impossible to think they would pick a linebacker.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I'm looking at it and saying that each year you always have one guy that drops – so much because of either a rumor of his injury or, you know, and the Giants are, it looks like to me, a this year kind of team. Like, they're not looking at the future and starting to rebuild. They're looking at making a splash this year. And in that case, then even if they moved up to get those guys that you mentioned, the Reddick and the other guys, you know, you have to make a splash this year. And I added the whole team. I love the offensive line, the defensive line, the even the tight ends that we got. Picking up Marshall is going to be huge because I think he'll get in the Odell's head and, like, you know, try to coax him in, not getting talked into some other, like, fights this year kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, kind of going back to what you were talking about. I as far as a linebacker, I believe that the Giants have to focus on offense. I really do. I mean, they didn't have a lot of money to spend on free agency to improve the offense.
They got Brandon Marshall, though.
They got Brandon Marshall at a really good number, a really good number.
Thanks for the call, Dennis. We got to run.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Dennis. And, and really, we haven't kind of talked a little bit about you know, the receiver quarterback camp that's going on outside of here. As we read, it's going pretty good.
Down there in Duke.
Yep.
So we had an article on Giants.com about that with a couple of pictures down there, meeting Coach K.
I think it's awesome. You know, and when you ask me about that, I think that it's so good. It's so good because, you know, you can do so much at the facility with coaches being here. You like to get away where there's nothing but you guys.
Well, you can't do football at the facility now.
But,
you
know, that's what I mean. Like, even if, like when they can.
Correct.
It's the coaches, they always interrupt.
Yeah,
they always want their time.
It's bonding down there for the guys.
It's bonding down there.
Absolutely.
It's organizing, you know, thoughts and going through routes and trees and philosophy and all that kind of stuff. And what better place to do it than in North Carolina? It's been cold and rainy and all that crap up here. But it's good for the. I think it's good for them. And I think that developing that chemistry with Brandon Marshall and Eli Manning is going to be really good. I love the addition of Brandon Marshall. I think it's just like Plaxico Burress all over again. All over again.
I agree. No argument for me. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Alan in Brooklyn. He's been holding the longest. Hey, Alan.
Hey, Alan. How you doing, John, Jeff?
Hi, Alan.
Hi.
John, I was the last call yesterday. The reason I had to rush is because I was on lunch.
Oh, no worries. It's all good.
Well, the question I have today is if DRC have a injury-free year, would you sign him to extension? Because I would.
You know, it's a good question. I mean, he has another year left after this one, as far as my understanding is. He's over 30. You generally don't give 31-year-old cornerbacks long-term extensions. If you want to go year-to-year with him, Alan, I'm fine with that. But I would not do a, you know, 4 or 5 year type of extension. If you want to do like a 2 year thing, maybe, you can get out after a year based on how you structure the contracts, maybe. But I wouldn't do a long-term deal just because he's a corner over 30, and I think that gets – unless you're like Terrence Newman, who's a freak show in Minnesota, who's 39 or 40. He's still playing at a decent level. It just doesn't happen very often.
Depends on what he wants to do too.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying, John, but for something – there's something about DRC. He's a special player. He's different from any other corner I've seen in the Giants uniform. He's just – different.
No, Alan, look, he's great playing the ball. He's faster to me than anybody else. I think he's faster than Beckham in a straight line race. So right. I agree with all that, but here's another thing with DRC, and Jeff can speak to this too.
Health.
When you get older, and he's already shown it in his late 20s,
yeah.
DRC is always battling something, whether it's the back or a hamstring. He's always got something nagging where he's missing some plays, coming in and out of games. I would worry about committing to a guy like that into his mid-30s, Jeff, especially a corner.
Well, he has his – I mean, really, it just speaks for itself. The injuries – you can't stay on the field, so you're not going to give him that type of money. You know, you're paying a guy to play 16 games and more. And so, you know, you're not going to give a guy an extension who's in – during because of his age and because he's a little injury-prone. And he has not been able to play all 16 games wherever he's been. So – but he is a special talent, I will tell you that, and he can certainly listen. He can catch anybody, and if he can stay healthy, the Giants are even better with those cornerbacks they have next year.
And he makes plays on the ball better than any other corner on the team.
He really does.
He baits quarterbacks. He messes with them. He uses his speed to force them into throws, and then he closes and makes plays.
And he's an above average tackler, too.
Yeah, honestly, since I've been here. Individual season, I think Janoris Jenkins probably the best individual season I've seen from a Giants corner since I've been here since 2007 last year. But overall, I'd probably say DRC is the best cornerback. When he's playing his best football, I think he's the best cornerback I've seen here in a real, real long time.
Sure.
One more question real quick.
Yes.
Jeff, I'm not sure if you talked about the kicker we have, Andros we have, mm-hmm. but could you see him taking the job?
I can, believe it or not. And I'll tell you a couple reasons why.
Someone's been talking to Tom Quinn about the kicker, hasn't he?
Well, I've seen this guy. I think I've heard about him. I like him. He's got a strong leg. He's got a lot of upside to him. He is young. and it's going to take some time to work on some fundamental things. But
and young kickers, you worry about things like consistency.
You do, but I'm going to give you a scenario here that will give you an idea of how good Tom Quinn is working with young kickers, and I'm going to mention two names: Boswell, McManus. Both of those guys were here. They are now starters in the National Football League on other teams. They were two young guys. So that just goes to show you that Tom Quinn has a knack of really working with these young guys, and I'm thinking that the Giants are hoping that they can hang on to a young guy this time to hopefully maybe find a young guy to be able to play for the team for the next, 7 to 8 years. So, yeah,
Real quick, one last thing. His size, being 6'2", will that slow him down, hamper him in any way?
No, okay. Not at all.
Thanks for the call.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Christian in Long Island, he's up next on line 3. Hi, Christian.
Christian.
Hey, how you guys doing? Long-time caller. It's been a while, but I definitely listen every day, and
welcome back.
Love the show.
Thanks, sure. Christian. Appreciate it.
So I was reading an article the other day, and it shows that Jerry Reese seems to have a black hole in failure in the third round. So I wanted to know why you guys think that the third round just doesn't seem to work out for him, as well as, I know you guys might not be a fan of this question, but I'm sure Beckham could have scheduled his mouth surgery, and done it some other time and not missed the training at Duke with everybody else. That's important for building chemistry. So I can take that off the air. I just wanted to, get your thoughts on those two.
Yeah, Christian, no problem. We appreciate the call. Thanks so much for dialing in. In terms of the third round picks, I think some of it's been bad luck. I mean, Darian Thompson, who was healthy for his whole career at Boise State, never missed games. All of a sudden, he breaks his foot, or whatever he did, sprain his foot, whatever he did to it. And I also think, though, some guys in the third round have been high-risk, high-reward picks, too, like Odighizuwa. He's a guy that had a lot of injury issues in college. He missed a full year at UCLA. You pick him, and what's been happening with him since he got here? He's been battling injuries.
Also, when you're going down those names, mm-hmm. look at the number at the third-round pick. Are they a high third or a low third?
That's true.
That has to do a lot with the pick in my mind, because a low third-round pick is a borderline fourth-round pick.
Now, DeMonte Moore's a guy that a lot of people had as a second-round pick that year. He had all the physical ability, but again, there was risky stuff with the off-the-field stuff. Not off-the-field stuff, but like maturity-type things, and I think that's what eventually did him in.
And now Dallas thinks that he's going to be one of their starters.
Yeah, good luck. Jarrell Jernigan, he's a guy that, because of his size, he never worked out. Chad Jones in 2010, a car accident. What the heck are you going to do about that?
Nothing.
That's just really bad luck. Ramsey's Barton and Travis Beckham in 2009, we've been through those guys a million times. We know that was a problem. Manningham did a real good job in 2008, and Jay Alford had an injury issues in 2007. So I think you're looking at, A, bad luck, B, some injuries with some of these guys, and again, it happens, what can you do? And then three, they had a couple misses. It happens.
It's a draft.
And you're right. I think you've had more than you would like in the third round in terms of guys that haven't worked out, but I think the second round picks, to kind of balance that out, have been overwhelmingly good. Sterling Shepard, Landon Collins, Weston Richburg, Jonathan Hankins, Linville Joseph. Those are some really good second-round picks over the past 6 years or so that have worked out. So I think that kind of balances out some of the mistakes you've made in the third by making some really good second-round picks.
And I think that when you get into the third round, you're not – obviously, you're there for a reason.
That's correct.
And I feel like the third round, fourth round, those kind of guys, they're got drafted in the third round, but still there's something that didn't make them a second or a first round player.
Yeah, see, Jerry Reese always says, I want to try to get a starter at each of my first three rounds. To me, and I guess I look at it differently than him, to me it's first and second. You should be able to get starters with your first and second round picks. Maybe in a year where the draft is particularly deep, you can get a starter in the third,
It's
hard. It's hard.
It's hard because of what we just said. I just feel like there's just something still missing in that third round grade, if you will, that you give a player, whether it's his speed, his intelligence, his acumen. I don't know, but that's it. Listen, there's probably if we did an we went to every team. There's probably another team out there that says, why haven't they hit on their second rounders?
Oh, absolutely. You sure. Know? Yeah, absolutely. Heck, there's probably teams that want to know why they haven't hit on their first rounders, to be quite honest.
Exactly.
I mean, look at teams like the Browns,
but
who
I
just haven't worked out with
I'd a lot
of their
picks.
I'd probably
go with you. I think it's a little bit of bad luck, and it's just it just happens to be the third round has been not a good round for the Giants, and maybe this year as they turn it around.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Charlie in Portland, Maine.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Hallelujah.
Losing his mind.
Mr. Illness.
He wasn't right in that.
Enough jokes.
I am happy.
You're a madman.
And here we go.
Charlie sounded happy there. He was chuckling a little bit. What's up, Chuckles?
Hey, John. Hey, Jeff. Well, the reason I'm laughing is that I think you can add the fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh round along with the third round, and because we haven't done that well on the fourth round either.
I hear you.
And the other thing, on the second round, we lost Joseph, and we're probably going to lose Hankins. So,
but they were good picks.
The track record is not great.
Yeah. No, but you
we weren't
you
talking
can't.
About losing them. We were talking about whether they're good players or not.
Correct.
They're good players, second round players.
Yeah, well, if they're good players, why are we keeping them?
Well, that's a different conversation, Charlie. Stop it.
Okay.
Why does everything go back to you as being correct, Charlie? You're always
being
correct.
Negative for that matter.
My goodness.
Hey, I wanted to say, John, why are you so upset about the quarterbacks? I hope there's 10 to go in the first round. That means there's going to be better players for us.
I know, Charlie. It just frustrates me. As someone that puts a decent amount of work into looking at this stuff, I'm by no means an evaluation expert. I don't claim to be. But to me, I think how many times is a team going to take Christian Ponder in the first round and then be surprised when he doesn't work out? I mean, Blaine Gabbert.
Well,
Browns
do it again. Let him do it again.
Yeah, I know. I hear you.
Hey, did you get a few of my main recruits I sent you?
I did, and I said you would have to call in and talk about them. So I ignored your tweet, and if you want to talk about them now, you can.
No, actually, I don't have all the information.
Come on.
I'll do it the next time.
That's
I call,
fine.
There is a guy that Jeff, you should check out. His last name is Martini. He's a punter, and he's a pretty good punter. He's 6'2", 200 and something pounds. I remember some of the stats. He had 20 inside punts inside the 20-yard line. He had 5-plus 50-yard punts or more.
Is he shaken or stirred, Charlie?
Dirty or Martini? I love the name, by the way. I just signed up just because of that, Martini.
But anyway, and then it was a couple other plays. I just don't have all the stats. Well, one guy was a fullback. Solomon was his last name. He was like 6'3", 265.
That's a big boy.
He's a fullback. He catches the ball, too, but he was definitely like he smashed people. I mean, this guy is a real fullback. So,
what about this inside linebacker you have here? I'm not even going to try to pronounce this guy's name.
Yeah, I know. I can't even pronounce it. Well, you know what? In the CFL, all the stuff's coming back to me now. In the CFL, he's actually considered to be a first-round pick in the CFL draft. Huh. So he's a tough linebacker, middle linebacker. He's a hitter.
6 foot.
And he does play some outside linebacker in pass rushing situations. But, you know, this is all 1A. No, is it 1AA? Maine is.
Yep.
So, but, I mean, this dude is – he comes from Montreal, Canada. This guy can actually play. I hope, you know, when they have their local workout, you know, the Giants always do, that they invite this kid. And then there's one other kid.
Remember, Charlie, just heads up, I don't believe Maine falls into the category of a local workout for the Giants. I think you got to be much closer to New York than Maine
Maine guys that came the other year, last year and the year before.
Okay.
In fact, the pro day they had up in Maine, the Patriots were up here and Washington Redskins were up here.
Oh, nice. So, okay.
But anyway, then there's this other guy. I forget his name. It's a D-tackle. Kerrigan or something like that. But anyway, he's really a three-technique guy. He has 47 tackles for losses. He's definitely a penetrator. He's about 290, though, a little light. But he would be a good undrafted free agent at some point for some team, whether it be the Giants or not. But there's a few guys. There's not a lot of guys, but there's a few guys up in Maine. So, anyway, we'll see what happens with that. I hope. And the other thing is, too, I the only thing I hope we don't reach for a tackle in the first round, because if we're going to give up a first round pick for a rookie who is, you know, like Paul says, and they're not a player that can just step right into it. And I would rather take that first round pick and try to give it to the Browns for Joe Thomas and get somebody really good.
Thank you, Charlie.
Charlie, okay, have guys. A great weekend, my friend.
You too.
Make sure you work on my dinner you're bringing down to me. So,
no one's going to be paying more attention to Anthony Dabble than Jeff Fegels.
That's right. I want that that dinner. How's he going to win that bet?
He's not. He's going to lose.
It'll be great.
All right. Let's go to Derek in Atlanta. He'll wrap us up. Hi, Derek.
Derek.
Hey, Jeff, John, how's it going?
Hey, good, man.
Long time no speak, man. Yeah. How are you?
I know, I'm well. I was going to say, after the first two rounds, I'm just waiting for the undrafted free agents, man. It seems like we do well there. I got two players I like to talk about.
Sure.
Everybody's already probably hashed over all the first round picks. I want to go to second round pick and see if you think either one of these guys would drop to us. If they do, you think they're good fit to be a Giant. The first one is Davis Webb. I don't know if he'll make it to us, but guy got height, weight, speed, West Coast offense. What do you think about him?
I would not go second round for him. To me, he is a round three or four type of guy, in my opinion.
You think so? Because I hear people talking about he may make it
we've heard
into the first round.
Oh, I know. I've heard that. I think that's madness. In my humble opinion, Derek, I do not – just think of it this way, right? Davis Webb went to Cal, right?
Yep.
He played in the same offensive system as Jared Goff, right? Jared Goff had far more success at Cal than Webb did. How did Goff look in his first year in the NFL?
I don't think he had an opportunity, really.
I mean, look, I agree he had a bad offensive line and not a lot of help, but you're asking for a guy who did not have as much success in college to come in, play in a completely different system.
But take it, John, we don't need him for the first 2 years, so.
That's true. You know. That's fair. And look, and I think that's why if the Giants really believe in one of these project quarterbacks, I think they're in a better place to draft them earlier than another team only because they don't need them right away. Like, if they draft them Mahomes or Webb, they can let them actually sit there, or DeShone Kizer, they can actually let them sit there for 2 years and you got to worry about it. So I think the Giants are in a better position than, say, a team like the 49ers or the Browns to do something like that. But I still think it's a very, very risky early-round selection, in my opinion.
What was your other player?
The wide receiver, forget his name, first name, is Darius?
LaDarius?
Second round, isn't it Darius or something?
Is that his last name or his first name?
First name. Darius McCrary? I know, I'm just...
Hold on, let me see if I can get the guy for you here. Wide receiver.
He's projected as third or fourth best wide receiver in the draft.
Or Darius Stewart?
Yeah.
From Alabama?
Do you have his measurables?
I can look them up for you. Hold on 1 second.
He's 6'1".
Because I think this kid was like 19 bench presses or something like that, ran 4.4 or something like that.
Here we go. I got it for you right here. Our Darius Stewart. So let's see. Measured in at 5'11", 204 pounds, 4.49, 40-yard dash. Bench press 225 pounds, did not do the bench press at the combine. Vertical jump 34 inches, standing broad jump 10 inches, did not do the three cone or the short shuttle.
It might be as you know, you would take it with the pro days. But
yeah, maybe.
I think I heard like 37, and 19 on the bench. Those measurables sound pretty good to me. Or 4.4 speed playing for Alabama. Don't you think we could use an extra receiver in that all?
Well, Mel Kiper has here that he'd be surprised if he lasts past the second round. That's
from
Mel Kiper.
Second round. If we can get him in the second round.
Yeah, I would, Derek, if your question is do you think he'll be there in the second round, my opinion, I think he will be, yes.
Okay. Have you seen him play?
We actually had the guy from Alabama on, and I'm trying to remember back to the spot. I don't have my notes from it in front of me, but I remember we did ask about him. And the tough thing with these Alabama guys, Derek, is that they don't throw the ball down there. And they had a freshman quarterback that ran a lot. He wasn't a big thrower of the football. So I think for a guy like that, it's a lot of projection. I think that's why you're smart to bring up some of those measurables, because I think that's what teams are going to look at when they try to figure out if this guy is going to be able to do more with those in the pros because of the system he was in college.
And I think you can also understand that he's a starter at Alabama. That must mean he's pretty damn good.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, no, they don't throw the ball a lot there, but I mean, if he left and went to somewhere else, he probably would be very, very good. So I think that's probably why guys like Mel Kiper and them see him as a player that could be in the second round and see a lot of upside to his potential. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. All right, guys. You have a good day. But I just wanted, just in case Jonathan Hankins is listening, man, sign a contract, please.
Thanks, Derek. Appreciate it. Darius Stewart, a couple of notes. Dan Salmon brought him up. Very nice. First team All-SEC. Missed a couple games due to an injury and one suspension for violating behavior rules, whatever that means.
That could
made
mean
a couple
lot
big
of
plays
things.
In the national championship. Overall, 63 grabs, 700 yards, and 4 touchdown. So, yeah, I mean, I think he has some raw talent, but again, you're trying to project because they just didn't throw it a lot at Alabama.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think that the Giants have a little more need than a second round receiver at this point.
Yeah, I don't think you would probably, in my opinion, I wouldn't go. A lot of people are talking like receiver in the first round. I don't. To me, if you're going to pick a receiver in the draft, you're talking about day three. You're talking about rounds 4 through 7.
You're talking
7.
About some depth.
That's what I'm talking about. We've done this in a while.
Time for everyone's favorite game.
Have not
like
played
this
game in a
play
while.
With Jeff Fiegels.
I don't have a great memory.
I got two easy ones.
NFL season.
Oh, you think they're easy.
Hundreds of players.
Fiegels with the Eagles.
Let's
what's my record?
Jeff remembers.
19 and 13, I see up there.
You
can make a mockery of my memory.
Here's your host.
That was just so.
John Schmelk.
All right, here we go. You're 19 and 13 overall.
Danny, have you been with us before on this? Okay.
All right, Dan's excited. So,
Dan's really excited.
For you guys that don't know about the game, I basically go back through Fiegel's 20 years of playing.
22.
I pick a name. He has to tell me whether he was the guy's teammate. I will occasionally make up a name, and he never played with the guy. What team he played for, and then either position or year. He needs to get 3 right out of the 4.
This
and that's kind of how it goes.
22 years of roster. It's not as easy as you think, Dan. I'm telling you.
No, it is not easy. All right, so here we go.
Turn the computer.
I trust you
not
to
cheat.
I do not
like to cheat on this. So.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Did you play with Michael Jennings?
Oh, come on. Yes.
Okay. I told you I gave you an easy one.
That's simple.
That was an easy one.
Here.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Very good. What was his number?
16?
He was 15. That's okay. Remember, everybody call him 1-5. That's the only reason I remember what his number was. I told you that was an easy one.
He had the star on his tooth.
All right. Did you play with James Sims? James Sims.
That would be no.
Wrong. Wrong.
You James, did play with James Sims.
James. It's got to be a late, like way, way long ago.
James Sims played with you on the New York Football Giants in 2006.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he had 1 tackle on special teams and played in 2 games.
Do you remember? That was 2006.
That was a 1 year before I got here. But no, I did not remember.
Danny,
James
do you
Sims.
Remember a James Sims?
I think you were like 15 years old in 2006.
James Sims. What does he play?
No, he was 19. He was a running back, apparently. I didn't know who the hell he was
thing,
either.
Apparently, allegedly.
He only played 2 games his whole NFL career. They're with the Giants in 2006. So that was a tougher one.
That was a really tough James Sims. I don't think even some of the people that know the Giants real well know that name.
Yeah, can you fix that record?
All right,
record?
So now I'm 20 and 14.
Yes, that's not bad.
All right. I'm going to put the date here today.
See, I knew all of us around the team knew Michael Jennings. I wasn't sure if you knew Michael Jennings.
Oh, my God.
Well, he has such a big mouth.
He was awesome.
Oh, he was an awesome dude. He was hilarious.
He really was.
Very funny guy.
He drove this jacked up Chevy Impala.
Yes,
I think
he did.
Was.
He had huge wheels.
Yeah. I wonder what he's doing these days.
I told you one was going to be easy. I figured I would ease you back into the game with an easy one.
You got me into it. That's good. But that's a fun game, and it's. I've gotten the name right, the team wrong, and the position wrong before.
Right. Now, it's tough. Are you? You're in either next Wednesday or Thursday. I don't remember which day because next Friday we're closed.
I'm on Thursday
because of Good Friday. Yeah. So, and I believe we're doing tennis. We're doing
tennis.
No,
we're tennis?
Doing Pittsburgh prospects that day. We're only picking another ACC team for you.
Okay, good.
For Miami opponent.
Okay,
and we're doing South Alabama for Gerald Everett.
That's what it
as
is
as well. So,
all right.
Can, do that. So we'll be back with you on Monday on Giants.com. Paul Dottino, Lance Medel will talk about Michigan State and UConn prospects as we continue to get ready for the 2017 NFL Draft. For Jeff Eagles, I'm John Schmelk. Have a wonderful weekend. It might hit 70. Go outside.
Yes.
Have some fun. Spring is here. Adios.